change.
Got you.
Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Hey, how you doing?
We're going to be doing Bereshit section 4, starting with verse 20.
Okay, thank you.
And we'll start in probably another minute or two.
Okay.
Understand?
Oh, someone needs work because I thought I was staying busy doing stuff that was important for me, but not anybody else.
And that explains it. It's amazing. Shame Yehud Kutchabri Hush in Tabi Hilu or Himu Hutilu Yakta Shame Yutke Bohav Bavavke, the Yehudashu in the Shem Kol Yisrael. Umud Torah. Oh, Atar, the late Bea, go on below the Okna, Belait Kalel Beraza. Tadiyukna hashta, ihu bediyukna, kad mistachlan beya, leyat, leya, diyukna, kalal, bekola it lusha, beit labasha barchai. Tohu has neither color nor form, and is not included within the secret of form at all. Although it may appear to have form, when we look closely, it loses all form. Everything has a garment to wear, except Tohu. Questions? Don't have?
I'm beginning to relate to that. I can't even form the words at this moment, but I can't relate to what I'm saying.
You have to go back to the definition. Tohu means without form. Form is, in this verse, it uses the word garment, but it's the same thing. It's a body. It's a shape. But we could also be talking about something other than space. Shape refers to space, but can time be formless? Yes, it can. When time is formless, there's no way to measure it. This is, what does formless mean? And what is the essence of form? Form is vessel. It's desire. Desire has a form. I want food. I want to breathe. I want something. Form. But Tohu, the world of Tohu, this mixture when we talked yesterday about water and snow, this is all coming together. Form. In Tohu, there's no form. There is no way to sense Tohu because there's no form. Spirit cannot be sensed. Can it be sensed in a spiritual frame with spiritual senses? Yes. But as a human being, spirit cannot be sensed. That's the meaning of the word ghost. It's a spirit that cannot be sensed. If you see a ghost, it means they're wearing a garment. They're wearing a body. It's not the body that you and I have. It's a spiritual body. It's a body that some people are able to sense. When we talk about people who can see auras, what are they seeing? They're seeing a color. This verse said, Tohu has no color. So what does it mean to have no color? white light has all the colors. So darkness is the world of tohu. There's no color. But what does that really mean? It's not clear to most of us. It's not clear to me in sensing, how do you define color? I'm not an artist. I don't relate to color. I have some forms of color blindness from time to time. It's just not something that we can truly relate to. Moving on.
Yes.
Bo lehi ikleya siu ravet biukna avit muchachim goy galifa tetohu. Please continue, Batra. Nafke goy galifa din shakan kaman umitaman mashke toalta lealma betsiura dilvusha mashke toalta meala letata vitalka mitata leela. I'm glad you were starting to join in. It's good to see you doing that.
Well, I usually do it, but I usually do it on mute. I thought I was muted.
No, I'd rather do it.
And I was fine in my place. Well, I can't always keep up with you, so.
If I realize that, I'll slow down, so don't worry about that.
Okay.
Bohu already has an image and a form. The stones immersed inside the engraving of tohu. When the stones emerged from within the engraving in which they were immersed, they draw down goodness into this world in the form of a garment. They draw goodness down to the world, that is straight light, and force the returning light up so that the straight light is enclosed. This is known as forming. This verse is so full of wisdom. It's I don't even know where to start. You have the world of creation. It's called the Olam Bria. The only thing that was ever created is desire. Everything else, the difference between a chair and a table is a different desire. You took the original vessel of the endless world. The Creator created desire, a vessel, and then started fulfilling those desires, that vessel. But in order to form our world, it had to take this desire and change its form, its shape, whatever form is. Now, it referred in this verse to the world of Bohu. Up until verse 20, we were talking about Tohu, which is without form. Let's go back and see what the world, the term was. I'm looking for the particular. Tohu is without form. Bohu is void, is being translated as void. So now we're talking about the world of Bohu. And we're saying, this verse is saying, that void, which we would think means emptiness, wasn't empty. It had pockets of form within it, pockets of desire. And that desire brought down form. And form spreads. Desire, as it gets fulfilled, creates other desire. The Talmud says that a man will die only half fulfilled. No man is capable of being more fulfilled than half. I'm paraphrasing, but what it says is you desire 200 sous, which is a coin, an economic measure. You desire 200 sous, you go work to get that 200 sous, you reach that goal, now you want 400. You can never reach and be completely satisfied in this world. Why? Because the Creator wants to share more than you want to receive. The cow wants to give more milk than the calf wants to draw. These are real-world examples that the Talmud brings to explain this understanding. What is the world of void? If nothing is ever void, because there was the world of tohu, the world of formless, but then it was processed into the world of bohu, which changed, created forms, and starts to process those forms. And the definition of the world of formation, the world olam yetzirah, that world, which is the beginning of separation. What is separation? Pockets here and here and here of different desires. I want this woman and I want that woman, and she wants this man and that man. Separation. This is the world of Yetzirah, the beginning of separation. This is Bohu, and we're now starting to look at what is the meaning of this, because the Torah puts them together. It says the world was Bohu and Tohu, indicating that they're connected some way. Question?
We can share without limit.
No.
We don't have to be stingy.
We, as vessels, can only share what we receive.
Okay.
But if we share, it's going to be replaced. If we share more, it's going to be replaced with more. The Creator wants to share more. If we grow our vessels so we can receive more to share more, it will just keep growing. Why does the universe expand? Why was the Big Bang that created the effect of expansion? To teach us, share, and share more. You had 2 zoos yesterday, share 3 today. You shared 3 today, share 4 tomorrow. Grow your vessel so you receive more. The more you share, the more you will receive. Until eventually, you are no longer a vessel, a cup, you're a pipe. Constant flow. And through that constant flow, you will receive what your needs are.
In very fundamental terms, in life, we become either a fountain or a sewer.
Correct.
Intellectually, monetarily.
In all levels. And all of us, many of us living in this building, at one time had more resources than we do today. All that means, there's never any loss. There's no loss. There's no diminishment, I was going to say. But there's no disappearance in spirituality. We've all heard this adage for years, forever. There's no disappearance in spirituality. Well, at one time in my life, I had extensive amounts of wealth. I've lost that. But I can't lose it. There's no disappearance. just means that it will reappear into my possession and into my, again. Will it happen in this lifetime or the next lifetime? Or maybe the lifetime after that, after I have learned how to handle it. Because the only reason I lost it is because I didn't know how to share it.
And as simplistic as it is, and it is baseline simplistic, Ari and I talked about, let's set up an organic garden. We've got land around here.
Right.
And the idea, the Germany idea, was so fresh, so new that we didn't know. Ari did a couple of phone calls, and we now have approval to use the terrace downstairs. To start the garden. But that will become a cornucopia.
Amen.
Because the more we share and give away, the more we'll produce.
Correct.
And the likelihood that we will have grants coming in to build a bigger greenhouse, hydroponic system, and on and on.
Correct.
Okay. It's perfectly
clear. And this is how the Zohar is teaching us, not intellectually,
no,
practically in our lives. This is what people don't understand. They look at the Bible and that's religious. It's not religious. What it is the tools of how to live chaos-free in the physical world. First, go ahead.
We fail to understand the Bible is alive because it's continuing to teach us what we have already learned and expand on it.
Every verse in the Torah is only put there. I'll take a step back. There's lots of academic discussion as to the Torah was formed by men 500, 700, 1,000 years before the destruction of the temple. It's a totally mute discussion because there were a million prophets in the times of the temple. Who were these prophets? Not all of them are listed in the Torah. These were people who had the tool, went to school to learn how to be a prophet. People would go to them with everyday questions in their life to ask. And Hashem would answer through the prophet these questions. But it was available, it was answered to that specific generation or even to that specific person. But when the sages compiled the Torah, every verse in that Torah, in our Torah, is meant for every single human being in every generation.
Right, for the ages.
It's not for the ages, for you.
Wow.
It was written for every person who ever lived in every generation. Each verse is speaking to you. Will it be the same voice that I hear? No.
Yeah.
But that's the practicality of the Torah, of the Bible. But people don't understand that. That's what the Zohar, this is what was said in this verse. The connection between formless and void. How can something be void if it doesn't have a form? You first must have a shape using space as the discussion. But don't limit your thoughts to just space. Do your fantasies have shape?
Oh yeah,
of course. Yeah. That's a form. Yeah. How do you fulfill your fantasies? Every person who comes into your life is who you call, who you created through your fantasies. I'm calling them fantasies, so they're thoughts.
Can we call fantasies projections? Which is something within us?
The answer is complicated.
Yes.
Which means it's not Torah. If the answer is your thought manifests every one of your thoughts manifest. But in what world, in what dimension, in what matrix? I fantasize, God forbid, about raping someone. It happens. Did I make somebody on the third street of Los Angeles rape a woman? Yes. Because that person and I am the same thing. We're the same vessel. Oh, but in this world, we're separated. We see each other as different. But in the endless world, there's only one vessel. It's confusing because we look at things through the eyes of separation, through the senses of separation. We're taught, look around. There's two pillars that I'm looking at. One's 10 feet away from me, one's 6 feet away from me. What's the difference between the two? They both hold up the roof. I'm holding up the roof. I'm creating the spilling. But because I think I need two pillars, they're there. Oh, but the architect is the one who created the pillars on the design. I didn't do anything with the design. I wasn't even in Atlanta when it was built. But the architect and I are the same thing. A desire to receive. We're all in the endless world. It sounds confusing. So how do I live my life with this intellectual discussion? That's what we have to apply. That's what we have to learn. And the Hebrew letters, saying the Anabakoa, reading the Zohar, hearing the Torah on Saturday, this is what helps us remove the space of separation so that we realize the two pillars are not really separated. They're the same essence. They desire to hold up the ceiling. And that's what they were created for. Can you choose there?
I can see other examples of what you're saying.
When you can explain it to another person, then you know you understand it. And until then, it's okay. It's part of the process. Verse 22. We all die, Kiban, Lumfulam, Ave, Oyan, the Azara, the Moon, Kalyan, the Salman, the Elal, the Ming, me, Tom Ring. The These stones are hollow and viscous, because they are suspended in the air. At times they are suspended in the air because they rise up and out of there, from within the engraving of Tohu. At other times, such as cloudy days, they hide and raise water from the abyss to replenish Tohu. This is when there is joy and folly, because Tohu has expanded all over the world. Tohu is formless. How can it expand? If you believe in it, what are you believing in?
Can't see it.
Okay. You see something, but you have no form to perceive it. So what are you perceiving? What are you seeing?
I
You're seeing spirit. You're seeing essence. You're seeing souls. These are different words that have similar meaning. What is the verse saying? The stones is the desire to receive. The stones were created in the process, is using the four steps of creation that we went over yesterday. We went into great detail of what they were. The stones is a desire. Well, sometimes the desires rise. They get stronger. Sometimes they get smaller. What is the cause of that? It's not being discussed. It's just saying sometimes this happens and sometimes that happens. When the desire gets stronger, it actually falls. It's in the opposite direction. This desire is farther from the light, farther from God, and yet the desire is to be close to God, and that's the paradox. We want to be close to God, but when we desire to be close to God, we become farther from God. Serenity. Do you want to move when you're feeling serene? You want to just lay there and enjoy. Just be. That's the stone. It's a form without any essence, without any fulfillment. If you don't have fulfillment, you're going to move. You're going to do something to become fulfilled. What is the essence? This verse is saying, when our desires are stronger, we're farther from God, and it looks cloudier. We go deeper into the water, deeper into the formlessness, because the vessel is larger and we don't feel it. This is a metaphor, but if you take a 10-gallon coffee pot and you put 5 gallons into it, what does it feel? It feels lack. It's not full. You put 10 gallons into it, what does it feel? Serene, fulfilled. When it's full, what can it do? It can only pour cups of coffee so it can get more. But in reality, you can't do anything if it's full. That's what this verse is talking about. Desire. Sometimes it's full, sometimes it's not. How does that come about? It's not being explained. It's just being described.
Right. And it's not a cycle. It's a continual learning process.
Oh, it is. Well, that is a cycle.
Yeah.
It is a cycle.
Okay.
You go up, you go down. Sometimes you go up, you come down, you go up again. So you go a little higher. Sometimes you fall a little deeper, which means you have more to rise. It is a cycle. There is continuity to it. But when you're only looking at 3 of the 10 dimensions, you can't see the cycle. You can't see the continuity. Verse 23, and this will be our last verse. Osha, Elja, Uma, Aki, Go on, Elja, Uma, Aki, Ukesu, Elja, Uka, Aki, Witsi, Ura, Kiva, Ra, Kaka, Oh,
Krishna.
Ashoka Bhakta Avilukho Vada Vatikana Enam Rote Vatikva Ete Sav Vigomer Hoshe Vene Vadi Aspar Andin Vatikvani Hoshe Vare Darkness is a black fire that is strong in color, because no other color can change black. There is a red fire that is strong in its appearance, as red is the most noticeable color. There is a green fire, which is solid in form, as all forms reach perfection by the green color. And there is a white fire, which is the basis of all other colors. Darkness is strong because it contains all kinds of fires, and it attacks the tohu. Darkness is a fire that consists of four colors, and it is usually not a dark fire, except when it attacks the tohu. This is the secret of the verse. His eyes were dim so that he could not see. He called Esav. The face of evil is darkness. So Yitzhak, who was kind to evil, to Esav, was then called darkness, as it rested upon him, so that it may strengthen him. Questions?
I'm getting angry.
You're getting
angry. My earlier aspiration was to have a 100th birthday party. Being on
I know.
Two levels was Al Davidson way. Yeah. It's all over now.
Right.
The realization that we were uncovered. So that, okay, 100 seems to be a goal, but 120 is within the realm of possibility.
365 is in the realm of possibility. When I was 5 years old, I told my mother I'm going to live to be more than 300 years old.
What'd she say?
She laughed. Such the murmurings of a child. But then when you study Kabbalah, you realize that after prophecy was taken away, when the second temple was built, the sages prayed that prophecy would be lost. Why? Because there's a trade-off between prophecy and the addiction of idol worship. So we lost prophecy, we also lost the hold of idols upon us. In those days, just to give you a quick summary, in those days, someone would pass a tree, and in the tree there was an entity, a spirit, that had been given permission to enter that tree. And he would flash telepathically to the pleasure centers of the brain a jolt. That's the addiction. By talking to the tree, by bowing to the tree, whatever the tree, that entity wanted to have, calling service, that human being received shots of pleasure. And that became the addiction. So it was very difficult to wean people from idol worship. So the sages prayed, we want to remove prophecy so that we can remove the other side of that. So we lost prophecy. But we didn't lose prophecy. It was transferred from people who were trained to the imbeciles, the crazy people in the church.
Which has a lot of crazy people.
Well, hey, we're going to have some fun. But when we talk about Yitzhak, Yitzhak is a metaphor. First of all, he's the metaphor for the left column, the desire. But desire takes strength. I want an orange. Will I walk 10 feet for the orange? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. It depends on how strong the desire is. So where does Yitzhak, where does desire get its strength? The metaphor is color. Darkness gives it strength. What is darkness? Absence of color, right? There's no light. But that's not what it says here, is it? Darkness is strong because it contains all kinds of fires. And it attacks the tohu. Tohu is water without form. Remember, when the water is attacked with fire, it gets ice. The opposite of what we would think. We would think it would boil. But it solidifies. It becomes judgment. Soft judgment is snow, as the metaphor we studied. What is color? This verse is trying to get us to understand, to have some conception of what is color and why the colors are also desire. Red is the strong, what does it say? Red. There is red fire that is strong in its appearance. And Rabbi Aschlager teaches, as red is the most noticeable color. Your red shirt, green blouse. For those on the recording, two people in front of me, one happens to be ready, wearing red, and the other has a green in her blouse. So red is the left column. It's the column of desire. It's the stronger of the color. Sharing is the goal. Sharing is the essence of the God, the essence of the light. It's got to be stronger than desire. It created desire. And yet in our upside-down world, it appears stronger. That's what the verse is describing. Red is fire. Well, fire implies desire. It implies judgment. Okay. Red fire is the strongest judgment. It's the left column. The white fire is the right column. Have you ever seen white fire? You see it in the candles all the time. If you look at a candle, it has white on the base and then usually blue at the top. It's the same candle, isn't it? Same fire, isn't it? Right. Same wick. Right. How did it happen? I don't either. I've never looked into the physics of it. But that's, so you have these two, right and left columns. But they come together and create green color. Green is the central column. And everything that we do needs to get to balance, which is the central column. It's a mixture of sharing and receiving. If I only share, I run out of things to share. If I only receive, I get filled up and can't receive anymore. The central column allows me to do both, share and receive. Balance, all of the religion teaches balance. Strive for balance in your life. What does that mean? Well, we all know there are different personalities, right? There are strong people who yell at the drop of a hat, and there are quiet people who don't. What's the balance? The quiet person has to learn to yell, and the yelling person has to learn to be quiet. Balance. Everything in life is about are you in balance? And the definition of balance is when sharing is a slightly stronger, slightly more, whatever that means, than the receiving, then you are in balance. If you think balance is sharing and receiving being equal, you're making a mistake. Balance is sharing slightly more than the receiving.
The colloquium is very important because of all the plants and all this, and I think it's a very healing color.
It is the healing color because it's the balance, it's the color of balance.
Okay.
Trees grow green leaves.
Right.
Oh, well, that's because they do photosynthesis. No. They do photosynthesis because it's sharing. They convert carbon dioxide to oxygen. They're sharing. Photosynthesis. That's why it's green. No, it's green to indicate to us that its essence is sharing. Its essence is balance. Are we destroying the green, the forests of the world as people maintain? I'm not going to answer yes or no, because ultimately you could have one tree in the whole world and it would be enough for 7.5 billion people if they were sharing. Just as we discussed earlier, you had this illness, but it was localized for 23 years. Why? Because what you were doing in your life was sharing. And the minute you stop that, it was allowed to spread. But it's the way the system works. It's the way the spiritual system was created. It's the way the physical world of illusion perceives things. And you have to learn to look through the illusion. That's balance.
Beyond our expectations.
Yes. Yes. By breaking the limitations we create on ourselves. That's our expectations. Beyond our expectations means you've broken the limits. That's balance.
Backing into us from a completely different space. Remember clearly, about 4 years old, no older than four, my parents, at one time or another, within a very short time span, what do you want to be when you grow up? And my standard answer was a giant. I pictured myself not as being 16 feet tall, but as being slightly taller than everybody else I knew and everybody else in my family. So, my daughter, my baby daughter, is 6 feet tall. My son is 6'7". My grandson is 6'8". And I'm saying, it didn't resolve when I was 4 years old, but it's working out through my gene pool.
No.
No, okay.
It's working out through your desire as a four-year-old being manifested into the gene pool that you extend out.
I'm laughing, but it's
spiritual cause. It's spiritual cause. Always spiritual cause. The effect is never physical. And that's how you start to pierce the illusion. When somebody says to you, you had this act happen to you because, and they give you a physical explanation, you know it's the illusion. Start to look for the spiritual cause. And the first step is asking, what is the spiritual cause? Once you have a question, you have a form to receive the answer that pierces the illusion.
As George, I don't know what book about the sins of the Father, visions of the Father and the Son.
That is said in the Professor DeBroke on the Ten, what you would call the commandments, the 10 utterances. It's between the first and second. excuse me, it's associated with the second. Do not worship idols. The sins of the Father will be visited on the sons up to three or four generations.
Okay.
Except
it's true because the reputation and everything else comes with
it. It's not true, and yet it's true. It's a paradox. Because you're interpreting the word children literally. But the word children in that verse means the same soul reincarnated. So the actions that you do will return to you in the next incarnation, up to four reincarnations. So if you did head craziness, you did negativity, you're going to return negativity up to three or four generations. We live in America. We were born in America. What was the merit? And it is a merit to be born in this country. Why? Liberty. Freedom. Okay. Why? What's the merit of being born in this country? What did we do in our previous lifetimes that we can be born here, but my cousin who lives in China, not that I have a cousin who lives in China, my cousin who lives in China that can't be born in this country. They don't have the merit to be here. They're born on in a communist country.
Right. We have the freedom.
We have the freedom. What did I do that they didn't do? Because we were both from the same generation the last lifetime. We may have even been in the same country and been neighbors. But he did something and I did something, and the result was I was born in America and he was born in China. Oh, he was born in China because he was born in China. That is the typical scientific answer to the question. If they want to be intellectual, they say we can't know, because who can tell why somebody is born in a particular spot? There's no meaning to it. There's typical, but there is a meaning. You choose the energy of the place because your soul has affinity with that energy. Any other questions?
Not really good. Question or conclusion. Did you want to make being reborn in the right place, you better behave.
You're back to your morality. I'm not going.
Well, that's all Mother ever preached to me.
I understand. Anyway, I'll be teaching tonight at 7 o'clock West Coast time, and it's really the question and answers session. So it can be short or long depending on whether you send me questions or come on the phone and ask them. And that's every Wednesday night, so feel free to bring your questions there. Have a beautiful evening.
Okay, thank you for including me.
Thank you.